So, Pastor Shelley, what I want to ask you is, why do you think so many Christians nowadays, or just professing Christians, you know, because we don't even know if half these people are saved, why do you think that they are so soft?
Well, of course, you know, everything takes after its own leadership. And really, I think that you look at America today, the pastors of today are just so soft and effeminate and queer-like. Many of them aren't even saved. But the men of the Bible were strong, they were masculine, they were preaching the truths of God's word. And I think that, of course, it's just a shame that the men of God today are such softies themselves. And I think that reflects on the congregation, it reflects on our culture, it reflects on the people, where masculinity has really declined as a result of the men of God not being masculine anymore.
And, you know, why do you think so many of these pastors are ashamed of God's word? Like, they will never touch so many different passages in the Bible.
Well, I mean, the Bible warns about people being a hireling, meaning that they're just basically doing their job for money. They're not doing their job out of sincerity. And I think, of course, most preachers aren't even saved. They don't even believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all just fake. And a lot of them are just afraid to lose their job, lose their house, lose their money. I think I saw a poll one time. It said like 50% of pastors would quit their job if they could get another one paying the same amount of money. And so really, it's just people are in the spiritual game for the wrong reasons. They've set themselves in a position where they either have the deacons or the wives of the church or whatever, they can vote them out. And so they're just so afraid of their own shadow. They're afraid to preach the scripture. And really, it's a lack of the fear of God. Because if you fear God, then you're just going to do whatever the Bible says. You're just going to preach what the Bible says, and you don't care what man does. But the Bible says the fear of man is a snare and a trap. And so a lot of people, they're just afraid of man. They're afraid of their own shadow. They're afraid of losing money. And so they're just caught up in the lusts of this world, and they're just afraid to lose their life for the sake of Christ. But, you know, we're supposed to lose our life for the sake of Christ, that we can, you know, gain the eternal riches that the Lord has for us. And it's not my decision of what happens to me. I'm supposed to just be a faithful steward of whatever God said and let the chips fall where they may. You know, Jeremiah had to face severe persecution for preaching the Bible, and yet other preachers had great success. It's not for me to decide if I'm going to be successful or a failure in the world's eyes. It's for me to just preach the Bible and to not care about other people's feelings.
And I was going to say this because, you know, all the pastors that say salvation is by following Jesus, taking up your cross, dying to yourself. But, you know, these people, they won't touch all those parts of the Bible. And you see they're trying to, you know, sell their books and things like that. They're never persecuted. I mean, isn't that pretty much the opposite? I mean, they're hypocrites.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Jesus Christ wasn't going around selling books. And, of course, everything he gave away was for free. And so, you know, our ministry should be modeled after his ministry. He preached hard truths. He preached people out of his sermons. I mean, after hearing his sermons, a lot of people left. You know, he wasn't afraid to offend people. He wasn't afraid to preach the truth. He wasn't afraid to call people out. And so, of course, these false prophets, as the Bible describes them, are serving their own belly. They're just concerned with their 401k, with their house, their boat. And preachers that have just these millions and millions of dollars and are on TV and everybody loves them, they're all fake. They're of the devil. They're ministers of Satan. And so we need to get some real men of God that have got hair on their legs, they're rough around the edges, and they make Cassidy cry every time he shows up.
Like you, yeah. So there's a passage in the Bible where it says it is a shame for a man to have long hair. Yet Jesus Christ is typically portrayed as having long hair and looking like this long-haired hippie. What's going on with that?
Well, actually, if you look across the world, you'll see all kinds of variations of Jesus. And it's because people often just portray Jesus in their own image. And so just during the Renaissance period, a lot of people were just portraying Jesus the way they were, which was kind of effeminate and soft and not godly whatsoever. And so their version of Jesus is this effeminate, not godly version of themselves, this Snow White Jesus. You know, he was from the Middle East. He probably wasn't Snow White. He definitely didn't have short hair, and he didn't look so effeminate as...
So he had, wait, he didn't have short hair?
I'm sorry, he didn't have long hair.
I was going to say.
You want me to re-say that?
It's fine. That's kind
of
funny.
Sometimes I mix up words. Yeah, of course, Jesus didn't have long hair like the Catholics portray him in their stupid paintings and everything like that. That's not Jesus. Jesus Christ, of course, had short hair. He had a beard, as described in the Old Testament. They plucked it out. Yeah. And Jesus Christ was a manly man. I mean, they described him as being like Elijah. And Elijah was considered a burly guy, strong guy. They also likened him to John the Baptist.
So was he like super ripped?
I don't know that he was super ripped, but I'm sure he was strong, and I'm sure he was manly, and of course, you know, it doesn't really matter what my personal opinion is of him, but I know for a fact he didn't have long hair.
Yeah, because wouldn't that be weird when the Word of God says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, but God himself has long hair?
Yeah, of course, they're just trying to mock Jesus. Everything that the devil and the media does is they try to just put shame on Jesus and twist the narrative and turn him into something that he's not.
Well, what about Samson? I was going to say, because people will bring up, well, Samson had long hair.
Well, there's no verse in the Bible that says Samson had long hair, number one.
Really? I don't know why I'm thinking that then.
Everybody thinks that. The Bible says that Samson was not allowed to shave the locks of his hair. Okay. And the Bible says that his hair was kind of like almost braided into seven locks. But really, when you take a Nazirite vow, the vow is that you can't shave your head. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you couldn't cut your hair. So I believe that one possible interpretation is that Samson just never shaved his head until Delilah did. And if you notice, Delilah didn't cut his hair. Delilah shaved off all of his hair. And it even talks about how his hair just began to grow, just when it grew a little bit. He regained all his strength back, and he knocked over the two columns and destroyed all the Philistines that were in the house. So, you know, it's kind of a misnomer to say for sure that Samson had long hair. Mm-hmm. But even if he did, that would just be an exception. It certainly wasn't something that God wanted people to do, is just to have men to have long hair.
Yeah, because the first thing that came to mind was if he did have long hair, it's not like God said, have long hair. Samson just had long hair.
Well, another proof text is the fact that, you know, they were confused. The Philistines were confused why Samson was so strong. And for sure, all the other Israelites would have not had long hair. So he would have just really stuck out by being the only guy that has long hair. And they might have been like, well, maybe it's his hair. But the thing is he probably fit in with everybody else because they couldn't figure out why this guy was so strong.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, I just remember my wife saying something about Samson's hair, and I just had to ask you that question. So.
Yeah, that's kind of like how a lot of pictures, they show all these guys wearing dresses and skirts back then. They were wearing pants. Jesus wore pants. Jesus didn't have long hair. I personally don't even believe Samson had long hair, but even if he did, that's not a proof of anything.
Yeah.
So the Bible, you know, is a lot different than what people portray it in media, because it's kind of controlled by a certain small group of individuals.
That you can't talk about?
Yeah. I don't know who they are, but, you know.
I have no idea. So what do you think we need to do as Christians to make a big change? Because like I said earlier, you know, just so many of these Christians are so soft. They're like, no, we got to love everybody. Like, what do we got to do? Because I know there's way more of us than, you know, those wicked people out there.
Well, of course, I think the most important thing is just getting people saved. I think most Christians, unfortunately, aren't even saved.
Yeah.
And that's just step one. I think that we need to be unapologetic about the freeness of the gospel and calling out false prophets for believing all kinds of heresy, teaching repent of your sins and lordship salvation. And the Catholics, of course, just openly admit that they believe in works.
Yeah.
We need to call those people out and get people saved. But then on top of that, you know, the only way people are going to change is if they read the Bible. Mm-hmm. And they got to get the right one. They got to get a King James Bible. So, you know, step one, we got to get a lot of people saved, and we got to get a King James Bible in their hand and then start to read it. That's what's going to change people's lives. If they start going to church, reading King James Bible, and they're saved, you're going to see a major change in our culture and in our world. But that's where it starts, and that's where it ends. I mean, you know, it's not voting Trump in. It's not giving money to some political candidate. It's not, you know, making some special organization that's outside of the church. Mm. You know, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Mm. It's the institution that Jesus Christ bought and purchased with his blood. And so it's not hard to know what to do. It's just sometimes hard to do it.
Yeah. If the people aren't going to listen and rise up, I mean, what are we going to do?
Yeah, we just keep preaching the gospel and you know, let the chips fall where they may. You know, sometimes you have a Jeremiah generation where they won't listen, and other times you have a generation where Josiah or Moses leads the people back into a revival. Mm-hmm. It's just our job to preach. It's our job to be steadfast and to be unmovable and just always abounding in the work of the Lord and to not cease from that work, because it's an important work. And I still think, look, there's a lot of people getting saved. There's a lot of people that want to hear the truth.
That's assault, brother.
Oh, you know, sorry, don't cry on me, okay? All right. And so we need to get out there and preach to the lost, because a lot of people just, they're ignorant. No one showed them the gospel.
Would you say the reason people are so deceived nowadays and so soft too is because the media and Hollywood just tells them, hey, you got to love all this stuff. We got to love these people and all these false preachers nowadays.
Yeah, of course, the devil wants everyone to be soft, and that's why he's pushing things like feminism. That's why he's pushing all kinds of products on people that make them soft. I mean, even beer itself is a feminizing product and makes men soft. It makes them docile, makes them weak. You know, with all the different pushes for fornication and everything like this, it's just causing people to just go weak and soft and not be manly anymore and not have courage. And so the only real manliness comes from the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, true
not Andrew manliness. Tate.
Andrew Tate's fake. I can't even say what I really think about Andrew Tate. But
you know what he said? He said that he would rather have sex with a hot tranny than an old woman.
That's how I know that he's not straight. And, you know, Tate ain't straight, and Tate ain't a man. Tate is fake. You know, I'll tell you a little secret. People that brag about how much money they have don't really have a lot of money, because they're just lying. They have to put this facade out there. I guarantee this guy doesn't have any of the money that he claims to have. He's fake. He's an imposter. That's not what men should model their lives after. They should go to a God-fearing church and find a man of God that'll actually preach the truth. Andrew Tate won't speak the truth about that issue. He wants to rather sleep with it. That should tell you everything you need to know.
All right. Well, that's all I got here. Thank you so much, Pastor Shelley.
Stop crying on me.
Oh, yeah.